the new novel. Okay. Now, Arjuna was seeing the Vishwa Rupa Darshana, the very manifestation of the Lord. And how can we also get Vishwa Rupa Darshana? At the end of chapter 11, Krishna gives the answer. We also want to have a vision of this Lord, see the whole world as a Lord. In verse number 53, if you look at verse number 53, chapter 11, he says, page 228, chapter 11, verse 53. So he said here in chapter 11, verse 53, that even no matter how much we study the scriptures, neither by the study of the Vedas, nor how much of penance, austerities that you do, whatever austerities you keep, whatever charity, whatever dhanam you do, or whatever yajnas, whatever prayers, rituals, etc. that you do, you cannot see, you cannot have this Vishwa Rupa Darshanam. All you need is one very important thing. And what is that? In the very next verse 54, he tells us what is it that we need. He says, only through single-minded devotion, our whole mind must be concentrated on the Lord. Now you may ask, how can I concentrate my mind on the Lord when I have so many things to think about? So many duties, responsibilities. Now if you look at it another way, supposing somebody is so much devoted to money, his whole life he wants nothing but money, money, money. Whatever he has is not enough. He wants more and more money. So whole day, what do you think he's going to be thinking about? Money. Whatever he sees, he wants to find out, can I make money out of this thing? If he meets you, what is the first thing he thinks about? How can I make money out of this person? Why? Because he is utterly devoted to money. Thus, if a person has devotion to the Lord, whatever he sees in life, whoever he meets in life, what is this in his mind? He sees the Lord in everybody. Whatever incident he goes through, because he has only Lord in his mind, he only sees Lord in every episode of his life. So to bring Lord into our mind is not difficult. It is that whether we don't value him that much. If we really value moksha, we really value the Lord, then we will have him constantly in our mind. And it is only that devotion that is going to bring us to see this Vishwa Rupa Darshana. Now, we go into chapter 18. We see some more interesting facts there. Chapter 18, verse number 56. That's on page 328. Chapter 18, verse 56, page 328. Krishna said there that you need to attain my grace. Once you attain the grace of the Lord, he says you will attain the eternal, indestructible abode. That means you will be one with God. Now, how do you get the grace of God? He says, if you get my grace, you will definitely merge with me. So, obviously, the question is, how do you get the grace of the Lord? How do I get the grace of the Lord? How do I attract the attention of the Lord to get his grace? What? By what? Devoted. So look at the verse, earlier verse. How do you get the grace of the Lord? He realizes me by devotion. So if you have devotion, what type of devotion? single-minded devotion, we will attain His grace. Okay, the next question is, how do I cultivate this devotion? I know if I have devotion to the Lord, I will get His grace. If I get His grace, I will be one with Him. How do I cultivate this devotion? Go back to two more verses here. How do I get His devotion? Go back to verse 53. How do I gain devotion to the Lord? First, I've got to clean my mind away. I got so much of dirt in my mind. So what he says, take away your ego first. Take away your arrogance. Take away your anger. Take away your greed. All that you take away through various spiritual practices, karma yoga, upasana yoga, remove all these impurities from your mind. Once you remove the impurities, the devotion for the Lord will automatically come once the mind is pure. And when the devotion for Lord comes, what happens? He says, you get my grace. When you get His grace, what happens? You must be. So our first important thing is first what? Remove the dirt from our mind. And this is exactly what Arjuna asked Lord Krishna. He wanted to see this Vishwarupa Darshanam. So he said, please bless me. And Lord blessed him with the third eye, right? That was what was called Divya Chakshu. And the third eye is not a hole in the head, but the third eye is the removing of the dirt from the mind. Once the ego is removed, once the lust, anger, greed is removed, definitely you can see divinity everywhere. In everyone you can see divinity. In everything you can see divinity. So now that the dirt has been removed from Arjuna's mind, he is now expressing what he is seeing right now. And we have covered so far up to verse number 19, right? Verse number 19 last week. So this Vishwarupa Darshanam, or Lord's appearance as the entire creation, was seen three times altogether, okay, four times. When was the first time? When Ma Yashoda asked Krishna, baby Krishna, to open his mouth. And she saw the whole world in his mouth. So that was also Vishwarupa Darshanam. But because it was not gained through the spiritual way, she forgot about it immediately. So she saw it, but she forgot about it immediately. The second time, in the Mahabharata, when Krishna went to negotiate peace with Duryodhan, and then Duryodhan wanted to capture him, but he showed the Vishwarupa Darshanam. That was the second time. The third time was here, right now on the Mahabharata field. And the fourth time was at the end of the Mahabharata, when the whole war was over, all the soldiers were dead, on both sides of the army. Krishna was going back to his hometown and he met a sage. I forgot the name of the sage. So he met the sage and the sage asked him, Krishna, what happened at the Mahabharata battle? Krishna said, unfortunately, everybody perished. Everybody died except the 10 warriors. That means how many warriors were there on the battlefield? About 3 million. 3 million warriors were there. Out of 3 million, only 10 people survived. So the sage got very angry. He said, you are the Lord. How come you allowed the destruction of so many lives to happen? And he cursed Lord Krishna. He said, I curse you. Because you did not, you had the power. You are the Lord. Why did you not stop the war? And then Lord Krishna showed him the Vishwarupa Darshanam. And then in that he saw that Vishwarupa Darshanam is what? Both positive and negative. There is growth, there is death. There is health, there is disease. And then the sage understood that all this is part and parcel of the karma, the law of karma. So he also forgave Lord Krishna And Lord Krishna also showed him the Vishwarupa. So four times this Vishwarupa has been seen. So Arjuna now also is seeing this. Another depiction of the Vishwarupa, if you recall, is when Lord appeared in the form of Vamana, the dwarf. Remember the Vamana incarnation? Out of the 10 incarnations, one was Vamana, the dwarf. And when Vamana went to see Bali, and Bali was doing a sacrifice, a puja, Vamana went in the disguise of a Brahmin. So he asked him for 3 wishes. So Bali said, take whatever you want, take 3 wishes. So what happened? Vamana became the huge Vishwarupa also, as big as a Vishwarupa. So with first one step he took heaven. So Bali, he told Bali, now heaven you have to give me. Another step he took on earth. So earth also you have to give me. Finally he crushed Bali's head and pushed him into hell. So what is Vishwarupa? Vishwarupa is heaven plus earth plus hell. Everything, all the 3 worlds are Vishwarupa. So now Arjuna is seeing this. Initially, what is his reaction, the first reaction when we saw, when he saw this Vishwarupa? Amazement, Vishmayo, amazement. Because he saw so many beautiful things, divine garlands, wonderful clothes, beautiful scent, everything he saw. Sense of amazement. Now, he is describing the Vishwarupa from verses 15 to 31. So in this chapter, 15 to 31 is the whole description of the Vishwarupa. But up to verse 22 is the sense of wonderment. After 22, you will see a different change in Arjuna. It is the sense of fear. Why sense of fear? He sees the destructive nature of Vishwarupa also. So that brings about a fear also in him, because he cannot take to see this destruction. And this destruction is not just one or two, it is a mass-scale destruction that he sees. So now let us look at how he describes the Vishwarupa. He is still in the sense of amazement. So in verse number 19 he says, Anadi, Madhyam, Antam. There are 3 words there in the very first line. Anadi, Madhyam, Antam. Anadi is without beginning. I cannot see where is your beginning. And beginning we must understand in 2 aspects. One is aspect of time, because we do not know when this world was created. So we cannot even know when is the beginning of this world. And we do not even know when is the antam, the end. If you do not know the beginning and you do not know the end, how do you know when is the madhyam, the middle? So he says, I do not know the beginning. I do not know your end. I do not know the middle. So one is in terms of time. The other is in terms of space. Because Lord is everything in creation. And we don't even know where is the beginning of this space. Do we know whether the earth is in the beginning or the end or the middle of the solar system? This whole creation, do we know where does the earth begin? In the beginning, middle or end? We do not know, because we do not know where is the beginning of this whole creation. We do not know where is the end. How do we know where is the middle? So Arjuna says, you are without beginning, without anadi, without madhya, middle, and you are without antam, without end. And what else? Ananta virya. Ananta means infinite. Ananta, no end. Ananta, infinite. What is infinite? Your viryam, your power. Because why? Since you have created everything, there is no end to your power. You have so much of power to create anything that you want. So yours is the greatest power. We think we have so much of power. In our house, we are the most powerful. Outside the house, we are nobody. But Lord has created everything. So you have the Ananta Virya. You are capable of creating the whole creation. What else? In order to create, what do you need? Ananta Bahu. You have Ananta infinite Bahu, hands. Because to create so much, you also must have infinite hands. Now, whose hands are these? All the hands of all the people who create anything, everything belongs to the Lord. Ultimately, it is the Lord who uses us as an instrument to create. So that's why we should never be proud. If you say, I did this, I did that, I helped this person, I gave this charity, no. All that we create, all that we contribute, it is nothing but the hands of the Lord working through our hands. So he says, Ananta Bahu, your hands are everywhere. And what about your eyes, Netram? They are like Sashi, the moon. One eye is like the moon. Another eye is like Surya, the sun. Sashi, Surya, Netram. Now, why is one eye like the sun and one eye like the moon? Why not just say your eyes are like the sun? But one eye is like the sun, one eye like the moon. One eye golden, one eye black. Right, so that means in the daytime he also sees us with the sun. In the night time when the sun is not there, the moon is also seeing us. So one eye is the sun, one eye is the moon. That means what? He is the all-knowing one. Anything that we do in the daytime or in the night time, he is watching us all the time. So, Sashi, Surya, Netra. And what else? Now slowly, his eyes are coming to the more destructive part of the law. What is the most destructive part of the law? Mouth. Why is the mouth so destructive? Whatever we put in the mouth, where does it go? Disappears, right? Whatever we throw in the mouth, it disappears. It gets destroyed. So now he says, your vaktram, your mouth, what does your mouth represent? Your mouth is like a putasa. See the word in the third line. Deepta, putasa, vaktram. Three words there. Vaktram is mouth. Putasa is fire. I see fire in your mouth. And not just a little fire, but what type of fire? Deepta. Deepta means blazing fire. Humongous fire. Huge ball of fire I see there. So, that's why what Devta is associated with our mouth?
Huh? Agni.
Agni Devta. Agni Devta. Why Agni Devta? It's the power of speech. The Vak Indriya needs the power of speech. So Agni Devata, that's why we say fiery speech. There is fire in your speech. So Agni Devata is in charge of our mouth. And Agni is fire. So what does he see? Lord's mouth? Fire. Blazing fire. And blazing fire, which means what? Whatever you put in the fire, what happens? Everything is destroyed. When we do Havan Yajna, everything you pour into the fire. Ghee you put in the fire is destroyed. Rice you put in the fire is destroyed. Nothing can survive fire. Right? So, he says, I see the blazing fire in your mouth. That is consuming everything. And now, because of this blazing fire, he says, your tejasa, your effulgence, I see your shining effulgence. And what is this shining effulgence? It is, the word is used there, let me see where it is here. Tapantam, you see the word tapantam in the fourth line? Tapantam means it is scorching, it burns everything. And just imagine, we can't even look at the sun, right? We are not even supposed to look at the sun, it is so blazing it can burn our eyes out. And yet, if you take the magnifying glass and let the sun focus on the magnifying glass, it can burn anything. So, imagine the Lord. Why is the Lord so brilliant, so much of radiance in the Lord? Why does he call that your radiance is scorching everything? Why is there so much radiance in the Lord? Why is his radiance so scorching? Can you imagine that in all the fires in the world, the sun, the moon, whatever type of blazing fire, all belongs to who? Belongs to the Lord. So when you put together all the blazing fire, you put the fire of the sun, you put everything together, that is the radiance of the Lord. And such your radiance, he says, is tapantam, your brilliance is scorching, is burning everything, it's so powerful. Now, let's go on to verse number 20, as he carries on to describe this form of Vishwarupa. So what does he say about the Vishwarupa? The word antaram is there, antaram. Okay, antaram means space. Space between what? Prithivi, earth, and you look at the word in the first line, you see two words there. Vyava, Prithivi. Vyava is heaven, is another word for heaven. So, Vyava is heaven, Prithivi is earth. He says the space between heaven and earth is all pervaded by you. So the feet are your, are the earth is your feet, the heaven is your head. The whole space from heaven all the way down to earth, everything is pervaded by you. All pervading. In fact, in Vishnu Sahasranama, you know Vishnu Sahasranama, right? The thousand names of Vishnu that you that we chant normally in the ashram every 31st December. So who gave this Vishnu Sahasranama? Bhishma Pita. When he was dying on the battlefield, he told to Yudhishthira that it is a very auspicious to chant these thousand names of Vishnu. So that's how we got the Vishnu Sahasranama. And before he gave the Vishnu Sahasranama, Bhishma Pita also described this form of Vishnu. And how did he describe this form of Vishnu? He said, he has the three worlds as his body. His body is made up of three worlds. The earth is his feet. The sky, what is the sky? The sky is only his navel. That's what Bhishma Pita said. Earth is his feet. Sky is his navel. Therefore, where is his head? Heaven. Heaven is his head. Sky is the navel. And earth is his feet. And he also mentioned in the when he was going to recite the Vishnu Sahasranama that the sun and the moon are his eyes. So many places in many scriptures the same description is given also. Sorry? Purusha Suktam also is there. In the Upanishads also is there. The same type of descriptions are given. So Bhagavad Gita is nothing but a condensation of all the scriptures, the Vedas, the Upanishads, etc. So he says, the sun and the moon are his eyes. His ears are the four directions, north, south, east, west. That's why he is able to hear everything. He is all knowing. So this is the description that we find very common everywhere. And that's why even Lord Shiva is called Neelakanta. His neck is blue color. Because the sky also is blue. So in another way of saying that the sky is the neck of the Lord. That you can imagine how big is the total Lord himself. He's just his neck is only the sky only. So you can imagine how big is the Lord. So now he's saying, Arjuna is somehow describing the second line. He says, Sarva, all the Disha means directions. All the directions, only you are there. I can see you in all the directions. So how many directions are there? North, south, east, west, then northeast, southwest, then southeast, southwest, northeast, northwest. Okay, right? Come on. North, south, east, west, that's four. In between another four, eight, come on.
No. It's very, very complicated.
Oh, is it? Not so. As far as we know, north, south, east, west, or in between four. But two more directions you forget. Up and down. So total is 10 directions. That is, wherever I look, the 10 directions, I see only you. Sarva, Disha, all the 10 directions. And now he says, now that I am looking at this form, so the word he uses there, Drishva, the third line. Drishva means, now I am seeing all this, seeing you in all directions, seeing your mouth as the fire, I am seeing all this. What is Arjuna's feeling? He is expressing now. He says, seeing your rupam, I have feeling of adbhutam. Adbhutam means I am very astonished. So he is expressing to Krishna now. By seeing all this now, my feeling is of adbhutam. I am very, very astonished. And when we say astonished, means what? Because he has seen the fire, he has seen the glory of Lord, he has seen the destructive part of Lord, but yet he says it is adbhutam, is very astonishing. Now, this whole world will look astonishing to us only because of one reason. What is that reason? Everything you see in this world can look astonishing because of one reason. Huh? Not the guna. The purity. The what? Yeah, everything is ever changing, but everything can look astonishing to us only because of one reason. When you remove raga and dvesha. Because then raga and dvesha, likes and dislikes. Because as long as I have likes and dislikes, there will be one part of the world which I find astonishing. When I meet favorable circumstances, I am happy. When I meet unfavorable circumstances, I am unhappy. But if I look upon the whole world, favorable and unfavorable, as both coming from the Lord, when my raga dvesha is no more there, then what happens to the whole vision of the world? It is adbhutam. I find it very astonishing. Favorable also I can accept, unfavorable also I can accept. So Arjuna is saying, I drishva, I am seeing the whole world, which is your astonishing form, because I see good things, I see bad things, everything I can see in that. So it is so wonderful. There is both favorable and unfavorable. But slowly now, he is going to see more and more of the destructive form. You know, it's like a bad dream, you know. You dream, you don't want to see that fellow is coming. But in your dream, where do you go? Again, you go back to that. You try as much to avoid that. What happens? Your mind goes back again to that. So this is what Arjuna is trying not to see, that destructive form of Lord. But his eyes will slowly keep going back to that. The destruction principle of the Lord. So now he says, this form of the Lord, which I am seeing, which is so astonishing, is Lokatrayam. Trayam means three, right? Trayam means three, Loka means world. So it is Lokatrayam Pravyatitam. Pravyatitam means everybody in the world now, which is seeing this destructive form, is very terrified now. Now he's starting to feel that fear of destruction. So he says, seeing this form, people are getting terrified. Why? Because favorable we can accept. There is no problem. Good things happen, I can accept. That also, if bad things happen to me, I can't accept. But bad things happen to my neighbor, no problem. My car meets an accident, I cry. You know, supposing you're sitting down and you just bought a brand new car, and you are watching television and suddenly you hear one loud bang. Then you start crying, my car, my new car, my new car. You go out and you see what happened, the lorry has banged your neighbor's car. Then what happens to you? Okay. neighbor's country. So he's saying now, when people face adverse situations, when people face loss, they can't take it. There is fear in them. There is pravyatitam. They are extremely terrified. All the three lokas, even the devas, the asuras, the humans, the insects. See, everybody fears one thing. What do they fear? Lost death. Everybody fears death. Devas fear death, asuras fear death, insects, animals, humans, everybody fears death. To face death is not easy. Once you don't have the Vishva Rupa of the Lord, it's very difficult. So he says all the three worlds are terrified. And he addresses Krishna, this Vishva Rupa, as Mahatman. Mahatman, there are two words there, Mahatman, which means what? Mahatman means a great one. I see this Vishva Rupa, it is terrifying, it is really great. Okay. Now, how do different people also respond to Vishva Rupa? Not everybody is terrified, isn't it? So who are the different people and how do they react when they face this destructive nature of the Lord? In the next verse he describes now. So he says, first of all, there are one type of people. This is what he is seeing. Who are terrified, who are not terrified. When they see destruction, who are terrified, who are not terrified. So, here he uses the word Sura Sangha. The first line you see the word Sura Sangha. Sura Sangha is groups of gods. Sangha is group. Sangha is God, the Devas. Okay? And he sees the Devas, Vishanti. Vishanti means they are entering. Where are they entering? He sees all these groups of gods, the Devas, they are entering. Where are they entering? Into the mouth of God. They are going towards their destruction, isn't it? Day and day, every day, all of us are going slowly towards that mouth of God. We are going to become His breakfast, lunch or dinner. So we are going towards Him now. So the Devas also are going towards the mouth of God. Okay? Now, how do they approach you when they see death, when they see destruction coming? They have one group of God to understand that life is but a circle of birth, death. Birth, death, the cycle goes on. If I understand this clearly, I have no fear of death. If I know that I am going to die, I am going to give up this body, and I am going to take another birth, I am going to come back again. This body is only temporary. I have no fear of death. So he says, one group of gods, they approach you. Another group, who cannot face this destruction, Kechit means another group of devas, who are unable to take this destruction, what are they feeling in their hearts? Vita. Vita means they are struck with fear. They are unable to take this death and destruction. So one group understands the law of karma. There must be birth, there must be death. There is growth, there is decay. But another group of devas, they can't accept this. So they are struck with fear. So either you have devotion or adoration for God, or either you have fear. In fact, how do we make people follow God? How do we turn people to spirituality, especially children? You create fear in them, right? You don't pray today, God will punish you. You tell lie, God will punish you. You don't say prayer before you eat, God will punish you. We as adults will break all the rules, but we put the fear into the children. Why do we put fear into the children? Because their minds are not mature enough to understand the totality of God. So we start them off with fear. We put some fear so that they follow the rules and regulations. So those devas also who don't have that level of maturity, because not all devas are the same. Those devas who are mature, they can accept death and destruction. Those devas who are not yet mature, They have fear in them. So, what happens, he says, when they approach you, how do they approach you? Whether they are fearful or whether they are not fearful, how do they approach you? You can see the word in the second line, pranjalayo. What is pranjalayo? You remember the mudra I told you about? The Anjali mudra, when we put our left and our right hands together, it is a very powerful mudra. It's the Anjali mudra. That combines your left and your right brain together. That is your intellectual mind and your emotional mind. So anytime you are feeling disturbed, that's why we do this before we pray. Why? Because I want to calm my mind down so I can focus my mind on God. So when I do this, it helps to calm and bring my mind down so that I can focus on God. So anytime that you are feeling restless, fearful, anything troubled on your mind, all you do is just sit down and put your two hands together. It's a very powerful mudra by itself, Anjali mudra. So what they are doing? They are putting their hands together, pranjalayo. Why? Because those who can accept death, they are happy. They are happy to come into your mouth. Those who cannot accept death, they are praying also. In fear also they are praying. So in happiness also they are praying. In sorrow also they are praying. Okay? And not only they are praying, but another word he uses there, grananti. Grananti means they are chanting prayers to you also. So not only are they praying, they are also chanting prayers to you. Okay? Some are happy, some are chanting in fear. Okay? Now that is one group of people, the devas. He says, I also see another group of people who are coming towards the death and destruction. Who are they? Maharishis. They are the great sages. Maharishi Sangha, again it uses the word Sangha. Sangha means groups. Groups of Maharishis and groups of Siddhas. Siddhas and Maharishis are different. Maharishis are great rishis like Vasishtha, Vyasa, Vishwamitra. Siddhas are the perfected ones. They are not sages but they lead a very perfect life. Like Narada. Narada is considered as a Siddha. Kapila Muni is another Siddha. They are not sages but they lead a very perfected life. So all these groups I see going towards your mouth. Okay? Enlightened people. And how do they respond? How would they respond? If they are enlightened people, that means they are endowed with knowledge. That means they understand God is both favorable and unfavorable. So how do they respond? He says, they have knowledge about your glories. So how do they respond? They say ukva. Ukva means they are saying. Okay, what are they saying? Swasti iti. Swasti iti. Swasti iti. They keep on repeating. What do we mean by swasti iti? May the whole world be blessed. They are blessing, they are asking the Lord. See, they are perfected ones, they are sages. They don't want anything for themselves. That's why a true sage and saint prays not for himself. He prays for what? For the welfare of the world. So as they are seeing the destruction, they are praying, may it be well. Now, when we say may it be well means what? They are saying that there is going to be destruction in this world. There are going to be calamities, big typhoons, earthquakes. Mass destruction is going on in different parts of the world. So, and what is going to happen here in Mahabharat field? Also mass destruction. Millions of soldiers are going to die. So they are saying there is big destruction coming. But let it be for Mangala. Destruction has to come. We cannot avoid it. But let it be for Mangalam. When we say let it be for Mangalam, what do we mean? Iti, swasti iti means they are saying, I accept the destruction, but may it be for Mangalam. May it be for the good. Meaning what? No, there is going to be destruction. But let the destruction be for good. You see the point. The destruction is there. I accept it. Now I pray that let the destruction be for Mangalam. Let the what? So you pray that at least through the destruction, these people get moksha, number one. That these people get enlightenment. And number three, what is number three? What is the Mangalam for? Since the destruction is according to God's law, let the destruction be for destruction of adharma. Let the adharmic people be destroyed. So one is the good people are destroyed, let them get moksha. The bad people are destroyed, then adharma is destroyed, isn't it? So if you look at it both ways, it is of benefit. So that's how destruction becomes mangalam. Dharmic people get moksha, adharmic people get destroyed. So that's why they keep on singing, swasti iti, swasti iti. Let it be for the best reason. Okay? And what else do they do? He says, these Maharishis and the Siddhas, they stuvanti. Okay, the word stuvanti is in the fourth line. Stuvanti means they praise you. So they understand your destructive nature. They are not afraid. They praise you. How do they praise you? Stutibi. Stutibi means with hymns. They recite hymns from the Vedas. They recite hymns from the scriptures. So as they are approaching you, they are seeing the destruction. They cry. They ask for the welfare of the world. They ask, may adharma be destroyed. May the dharmic people get moksha. And they also sing hymns in praise of you. So that is how different people approach destruction. Those who cannot understand the destructive nature of God, they get what? Fear, bitter. Those who can understand that this whole world is nothing but creation and dissolution, they have no fear at all about destruction. Okay? So he is now experiencing this. Vishwarupa, what else does Arjuna see? Now again, basically there's a bit of repetition because earlier Sanjaya already mentioned what he saw. So Arjuna also repeating what he saw. So he says, this is what I'm seeing in verse number 22. The Rudras, he also seeing the same thing that Sanjaya saw earlier. I'm seeing the 11 Rudras. I'm seeing the 12 Adityas, all that we have discussed before. I'm seeing the 8 Vasus, Vasavas. So Rudra, Aditya, Vasava, Sadhya. Sadhya is a group of 12 Vedic gods. There are Vedic gods, there are 12 of them. And they are also mentioned in the Vayu Purana. There's one Purana called Vayu Purana where these Vedic gods are mentioned. So this is also what Arjuna is seeing also. And what else? Vishve. So, Vishve is in the second line, Vishve. Vishve means they are the group of 10 devatas. And all these 10 devatas also are mentioned in the Vayu Purana. So you must understand that Arjuna actually is seeing everything, right from the heaven all the way down to hell. Everything he can see. Okay. And what else? Asvina. Asvina are the twin devas. Asvini devas. Okay. Marutas, we have discussed. How many Marutas are there? 49 Marutas. Okay. The wind gods. Ushmapas. Ushmapas are mentioned in the Shiva Purana. Ushmapas are the what we call the Pitri Devatas. That means when we offer the prayers to our ancestors, there are this group of gods who come down. They are called Ushmapas. And why we say Ushmapas? When we offer the food to the ancestors, the food must be very hot. Because these devatas like to come and eat hot food. So if you don't serve food that is hot, they get very annoyed. So there are a group of gods who come to bless us. They are called Ushmapas. And they like to eat the food which is very hot. Okay? And then what else? Gandharvas. Gandharvas are the heavenly musicians. They entertain the gods with music. The rock stars in heaven, so they are the Gandharvas. Sorry? Hot. Hot means really hot, not spicy, but hot in terms of heat. Hot food. So don't offer cold food, but hot food. Huh? For the Pitris, when we do the Pitra Puja. Gandharvas, heavenly musicians. Yakshas. Yakshas are all the spirits who guard the natural treasures. Gold, diamonds, rubies. There are a group of devas who guard all this. They are called the Yakshas. And then, all this, he says, I see everything, all this group of gods. And he says, I am struck with what? Vishvita. I am struck with wonder. So can you imagine if you are able to see all these devas, how will your feeling be? Your hair will be standing on end. You will be struck with wonder to see the whole vision of heaven, earth and hell also together. Okay? Now comes the fear part in Bhaktivinoda. As I said earlier, he's trying not to look at that. So he's looking at the devas. Every time his mind goes back to the mouth of the Lord, he tries to look at the devas. But again his eyes go back again to the mouth of the Lord. So now in verse number 23, he is going to start experiencing this fear now. And what is this fear? He is going to see the very destructive nature of God now. And this destruction is at a mass scale. So, when we talk about destruction, the technical word used is Kala. Kala means two things. Kala Devata is the Devata of death. And Kala also means time. So why is time and death go together? If you are not time and death, both have the same word. Kala Devata means Devata of death and Kala also means time. So why are these two together? Everything that we measure is in time. Creation is measured in time. Sustenance is measured in time. That also is measured in time. So everything has got a time frame, right? Our date of birth, date of death, time frame. Everything is measured in time. So now he is looking upon that Kala, that destructive nature of Lord from verse number 23. And you must understand that therefore God has already got three natures, right? One is the nature of God when He creates, we call Him what? Brahma. So when God creates, we call Him Brahma. That very same God, when He sustains, we call Him Vishnu. That same very God who destroys, we call Him Shiva. Right? So when we look upon God as a destructive principle, we call Him Shiva. Right? Now here Arjuna is seeing that destructive principle of Lord. That means he is looking at both the favorable and unfavorable, right? So, in Vishwarupa, you must understand there is Mangalam and there is Amangalam, right? Now, but if we look at one part of Vishwarupa as Mangalam and other part as Amangalam, what happens? There is fear in us, right? So how is the right way to look at Vishwarupa, this whole world? Birth is Mangalam. Death is? How is the positive way of looking at Vishwarupa? Death is Mangalam. Birth is Mangalam. Death is Mangalam. Right? Growth is Mangalam. Decay is Mangalam also. Until we can change our vision and look at Vishwarupa, if not always there will be this fear of us. If there is decay, we have fear. If there is death, we have fear. So, but what we are learning from here, everything is part of Vishwarupa. Right? So in the case of Arjuna now, he is having this fear already. The Bhayam is coming now, which is going to be described from verses 23 to 30. So verses 23 to 30 now, Arjuna is going to express this fear of the bhayam, the fear. Okay? Now what does he say here? He says, Lord, te rupam, your rupam, your form is mahat. Mahat means it is great. It is infinite. Okay? And what? Why is it infinite? Because it has got bahu. Bahu means many. Vaktra, many mouth, many faces. Vaktra can mean mouth, can mean faces also. So your form is infinite. Why? Because it has got many mouth, many faces. Netra, it has got many, many, many eyes. Okay? What else? Second line, look at the second word. Now you see the word there, bahu, bahu, two times. But there is a difference. One is bahu and one is bahu. Because you notice that in the Sanskrit there is one yeah. So when we recite this, you must be careful, you don't say bahu, bahu, you know. Bahu, bahu means many, many. But it is bahu, bahu. So bahu is what? Many. Bahu is what? Arms. So it is bahu, bahu. I see many, many arms also. Okay? And what else? Now in that word, bahu, in the first word you see the word, there is in the first word, bahu udaram. Bahu udaram means also, there is a word uru there which means thighs. I see many thighs. So everything is describing. I see many many mouths, I see many eyes, I see many arms, I see many thighs, and padam. Padam is also there in the second line. Padam means many feet. Okay? And mahabaho means I see all the many weapons in your hands also. So many weapons your hands are holding. Okay. And what else? Bahu udaram. Udaram means belly or stomach. Okay. And now comes the fearful part. What is the fearful part? In the third line, bahu damstra karalam. Damstra means teeth. I see many, many teeth. And what is the function of the teeth? To destroy. So in the mouth there is already fire and there is a teeth which is seeing which is destroying. So karala means now these teeth are bringing fear to me now. I see that with fear, it's very frightening. And why do I, not only am I frightened, he says but pravyatita, loka pravyatita, the whole world also is frightened, is very distressed to see this death and destruction. And where is this death and destruction going on? It is not only in earth, but he says, I see your death and destruction in verse 24, Nabaha. Nabaha means in the sky. In the sky also there is destruction going on. And your flame, your mouth, the flame in your mouth is burning everything up. In the sky also is burning it up. Okay? And I see your flame also, the fire, has got varnam, many, many colors, because destruction comes in many ways, right? Now, when the mouth also eats, you know, some food we eat very fast, some food we eat very slow, means what? Sometimes some food we eat very fast, some food you take your time to enjoy and eat, meaning what? Some people get destroyed very fast. Some people suffer, suffer, suffer and get destroyed. So when you enter the mouth of destruction, not everybody gets destroyed at the same time. Some suffer, suffer, suffer and get destroyed. Some get immediately destroyed, they don't suffer. And many colors means also many ways that people get destroyed. Either through A or B or C, destruction happens. So I see the destruction going on. And what else is also scaring him also now, even the eyes also, Dipta Vishala Netra, even your eyes also are blazing with fire. Okay? So, because of that now, I and the whole world is very depressed. Okay? And now Arjuna says, Na Vindami, I do not find. Now what do I do not find? My mind is no more calm. Earlier was what? Vishmaya. I was amazed, I was happy. Now my mind is a total restlessness state. I cannot take that fear. My mind is gripping, it's very unsteady. Okay? Now, what is it that he is going to see now, the destruction? He is going to describe that in verse number 25. He says, your mukhani, your mouth, with what? With protruding damstra, with protruding teeth, very sharp teeth. Okay? What do the sharp teeth symbolize? They symbolize nothing but death. Teeth are nothing but symbolizing death. Okay? And what do we see? If you look at the second line, there's one word there. Kala, Anala, Samnibani. There are three words there. The last word. Kala, Anala, Samnibani. Kala means destruction. Anala means fire. Samnibani means resemble. So, your mouth, the fire represents destruction. Fire represents destruction. Now, that's why when we see, when the world was created, the creation happens from subtle to gross. So what is the very first thing in creation? Space. Space then dissolves into air. Air dissolves into fire. Fire dissolves into water. Water dissolves into earth. Right? So when creation comes, it comes this way. Space, air, fire, water, earth. When dissolution happens, it goes the reverse way. Earth dissolves back into water. Water dissolves back into fire. Fire dissolves everything off. So then it becomes air, and air dissolves into space. So that's why fire is the most destructive, because it dissolves everything off. Until you cannot see anything. So that's why fire is called pralaya kala agni. Pralaya means at the time of destruction, fire will be the destroying factor. It will destroy everything. And this is what Arjuna is seeing. Now he's so troubled that he's saying, Disa na jani. In every direction, Disa means every direction I look, I can only see that destruction. Why? Because destruction is going to happen to everyone at any time. So destruction is in every corner of the world. Right? Destruction is taking place at every part of the world. And therefore he says, O Lord, I don't find any na labe cha sharma. Sharma means joy. I don't see any joy in this destruction. My mind is only trouble. And that's why sometimes we also question, why are there destructions that happen on large scale? Why is there earthquakes where thousands of people die? Or what we call tsunamis, thousands of people die. Why does destruction happen on a mass scale? In fact, if you ask that question, then look at Mahabharata. Why did 3 million people have got to come and die at the same place at the same time? So we see the destruction going on today in natural disasters, that also happened on Mahabharata. Why did all the soldiers have to be at the wrong place at the wrong time? Because of the law of karma. They all had to go. At the same time, at the same place, they all had to go. So destruction does happen on a mass scale. And how these people, by their own destiny, they come about and they are right at the wrong place at the wrong time. Because you also have read sometimes when planes crash, somebody has missed the flight. They rush to the airport, they miss the flight. Then they end up cursing the person. But what happens later? The plane crashes. Means what? It was not time for that person to go. So he missed the flight. So next time you miss the flight, say thank you. Because You are not supposed to be on that flight, so don't get disappointed. So by the law of karma, everything happens. Yeah? Everything is very perfect by the law of karma. So now, he prays to the Lord, Prashida Devesha Jaganivasha. Devash Devesha, O Lord of the universe, Prashida, please be gracious to me. Because now Arjuna is very troubled, he can't take this destruction, so he is asking, Lord, please be graceful to me. When my time for destruction comes also, let it be an easy one, O Lord. So number 26 now. Now, what is the destruction he is seeing now on the battlefield? Since the battlefield is right in front of him, what is the destruction he is going to see here? In verse number 26, the first thing he sees is Dhritarashtra Putra. Putra means son. Who sons? Dhritarashtra's son. How many sons he had? 100 sons. Right, one daughter. 100 sons, one daughter. He says, survey, all the Dhritarashtra sons I see are going to be destroyed. They are all going into your mouth. They are going towards the destruction. Now, all of Dhritarashtra's sons, 100 of them are going towards the destruction. But you must understand that what Arjuna is seeing is a poetic description. Why do we say it is a poetic description? He sees the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, except only one fellow survived, you know, out of the 100 sons. His name was Yuyutsu. We'll talk about him later. So he's seeing all his 100 sons going towards the mouth of Lord to be destroyed. But this is only a poetic description. Why do we say it's a poetic description? It hadn't happened yet. Where were all the sons of Dhritarashtra? They were still alive on the battlefield. Yet he was seeing their destruction. Which means what? He's seeing something in the future, which is about to happen. Because Lord told him, you can see whatever you desire to see. So he was wanting to see what is the outcome of the battle. And he sees that at the end of the battle, all these sons of Dhritarashtra, they will all meet their death. They'll all be killed. Okay? Except Yuyutsu. Yuyutsu was one of the sons of Dhritarashtra. He was not born through, what was his wife's name? Gandhari. Dhritarashtra had a relationship with a servant woman. So from that servant woman, one son was born, called Yuyutsu. That's why among all the evil children, he was the only pure one. And he is the one who refused to fight on the side of the Kauravas. He went over to the side of the Pandavas and he fought. And he was one of the people who survived the battle. Among the 10 people, he was one of the living people. So 99 sons of Dhritarashtra perished. Only Yuyutsu survived this battle. Yuyutsu. Y-U-Y-U-T-S-U. Yuyutsu. Okay? He was the only one who survived the battle. So, okay, so now, where are they? They are all entering into the mouth of the Lord. Okay, they are all heading for death. Now, not only the Kauravas he sees who are heading for the death, because since so much of destruction was going on, what else he sees? He says, Saha Eva. Saha Eva means together with these Kauravas, I also see Avani Pala. Avani Pala means rulers of the earth, those who are wearing crowns. Because many, many kings who came from different kingdoms, either to support the Pandavas or to support the Kauravas, they also died. So many, many millions of people is seeing. The Kauravas also, the kings also is seeing all these people from both sides, Pandavas and Kauravas side. Okay? Now, Pandavas side, only 7 people survived. That is the 5 Pandavas, Lord Krishna and Yuyutsu. And Kaurava side only 3 people survived. I can't remember their names, but you can look it up in the on the Google page. So only 10 people, 3 from Kauravas, 7 from Pandavas. Everybody else is heading towards the destruction. Okay? And who else is seeing now? The very people he didn't want to see their death, now he has to see their death. Who are they? Bhishma, Drona. The two people who he really loved, Bhishma was his grandfather, Bhishma Pita. Drona was his guru, who taught him archery and all that. So, what he didn't want to see, he couldn't bear to see the thought of them dying. Ironically, this is what we see. Right? So, Bhishma and Drona, now comes some good news. All the while he's seeing bad news, right? Now comes good news. What is the good news? Huh? What? No, what's the good news? Huh? Pandavas didn't die, but what's the better news about? Who is Arjuna's sworn enemy? Karna. So Karna here is described as what? Here he is described in verse number 26, Sutaputra. Sutaputra, he was known as Sutaputra, means son of Suta. That's the Why he was his sworn enemy? Because he is the one who actually did a lot of, Duryodhan to do a lot of atrocities on the Pandavas. Number two, you mustn't forget Karna was actually born to the first son. Rightfully he should have taken the kingdom. So all the while he was burning inside. And since he was known as the son of a charioteer, every time he was insulted that you are the son of a charioteer. So he could not take that insult. And he always challenged Arjuna to battle. So Karna and Arjuna were basically sworn enemies. So now he sees who going to his destruction. Sutaputra also will die. Also. Karna also will die. Okay? So at least he knows that end of the battle is also going to go. Okay? And what else he sees? Saha, along with all these others, millions and millions of people going towards their destruction. Yodha Mukhe. Yodha means warriors. Mukhe means the prominent, the powerful warriors. The prominent warriors on both sides. Whoever were the great warriors, and there's a long list of those warriors given there. Okay? All this destruction he's seeing. All that destruction is going on. Okay. Now, verse number 27, he is now describing the destruction on a really terrible scale. So he says, all these people are Vishanti, they are entering. Verse number 27, they are Vishanti. Where are they entering? Te Vaktrani, into your mouth. And what does the mouth represent? The death and destruction. So they are all entering. Some are entering slow, some are entering quickly, some are being chewed up very fast, some are being enjoyed deliciously. Right? So different people dying in different ways. Also. Okay? And thus he says, Kararani, I find it very frightening to see, can you imagine seeing the destructions of thousands of people in front of your eyes, how frightening is it going to be, right? Because many of those were people whom he loved also, right? So, Karalani, very frightening. Bayanakani, very terrible. Baya, it brings fear to me. What? Danstra, your teeth. Keeps on seeing the teeth destroying and chewing these people. And then he describes in detail what's happening. Kechi, some of them, Vilakna, they are stuck. Where are they stuck? Dasanantareshu, in the gaps between your teeth. Struggling for the death, painful death. Because some are hit with arrows, they don't die immediately. They are struggling in their pain and dying slowly. So again, in our life also, we see some people suffer and die. And some who are very fortunate go immediately. Those are the very fortunate ones who have no pain and go immediately. Right? So, Kechit Vilakna Dasanta Reshu. Some are stuck in between your teeth. And you are enjoying them very slowly. Okay? Samdrishyante churnite uti mange. Some of them, uta mange with their heads, churnite are crushed. Their heads are being crushed. Painful death. Okay, some slow death, some painful death. Their heads are being crushed. So very terrifying to see such a kind of destruction. Okay? Some are subject to slow, painful death. Some are rushing into your mouth. That means very quick death. Some are suffering and dying. Okay? Now Arjuna is describing this death and destruction of all the people, and nobody can escape this. So he gives a, what we call an allegorical description now. Okay? What is the allegorical description? He says, yatha, yatha here is just as, bahava means various pipes, nadinam, various pipes of rivers. Okay, some rivers are fast flowing, some rivers are slow flowing, some are clean, some are dirty rivers, so all various type of rivers. Samudram, entering into the samudra, into the ocean. Okay, dravanti means you are entering, just like the various rivers pour their water into the ocean. Okay, in that same way, tatha, in that same way, ami, vira, these warriors, vira, all these warriors, they are also entering naraloka. They are also entering into this destruction, naraloka. Okay? So, all, like the various rivers enter into the ocean in different ways, from different directions, at different speeds, different types of rivers, that's the same thing I'm seeing. Various warriors who are equipped with various weapons, who are dying in different ways. Okay? This is how I see the destruction of the warriors also happening. All these warriors, Vishanti, Vaktrani, they are also entering your mouth. Which is what type of mouth? Avi, Vijwalanti, which is blazing with fires all over. So just like various rivers also dissolve into the ocean, I also see all these various types of warriors with various weapons also dying in different ways. Then he gives another example again in verse number 29. What is that example? He says, yatha again, just like patanga. Patanga means moths, which are rushing towards pradiptam, jwalanam, bright fire. Just like some moths, they see the bright fire, they rush into it. They are attracted to the flame. In that same way, they are destroyed. Nashaya, they are destroyed. In the same way, he says, I also see that these warriors are entering into your mouth for destruction. Now, that means two types of way he is talking about. One is the rivers naturally going into their destruction. One is the mouths which are helplessly going into your destruction. That means they see the fire and they are just attracted. So that means what? Different types of people. Some die a natural death. Some... not kill themselves, but they lead a destructive life, so they themselves get attracted towards their death. What? Black hole. Everything sucks everything up. So he's describing different types of people. Basically, those through natural death, the rivers go naturally into rivers. And what happens when they go into the river? The river again, the sea again evaporates and they come back. But some others, they go right into their deaths and they are finished straight away. Right? So they don't come back. So they are one type of people who go into their death but they come back. And the moths describe the type of death that these people dissolve and they don't come back at all. Yeah, that's good for them. So, one type go and return, one type go and don't return. Right? So you have to decide, are you the river or are you the moth? Okay, you have two choices there. Okay. So these are the two types of breath. Samidra Vega Nashaya. They are destroyed by going into the fire. Okay. Now, in verse number 30, in verse number 30, he describes further about this destructive nature. So, Lord is like a big eater, you know. He eats so much, so many types of food. So he's describing this great meal that Lord is enjoying now. So he's saying, Samagram Loka. The whole creation is like a meal for you, Lord. Because eventually the whole world will go into dissolution. So like just like when we go and eat banana leaf, you know, so much of foods are there. All the vegetables, rice, dal, curry, chicken, mutton, everything is there. So just like that for Lord also, the whole world is like a big meal. So he says, Grasamana Samantan, you are devouring everything from all sides. You are just eating, eating, eating. Okay? Nobody can escape your destruction. Okay? So, and everything is going into your flaming mouth. And then, not only everything is going into your flaming mouth, but sometimes when we eat, what do? He says, Leli Yase, you are licking. You are enjoying. So some destruction, Lord enjoys destroying these type of people. They are worthy to be destroyed. So some, he says, are going into your mouth, which you are licking them, you are enjoying them, right? Which means that which you want them to be destroyed. And then he says, not only you destroy those people who are trapped in your mouth, but everything in this world, everything, the flames in your mouth are going to destroy apurya completely. Everything is going to be destroyed. So it means also at the end of the time also, a dissolution, the whole world also is going to go back into state of dissolution. And again, it is going to be created again and destroyed again. So totality of destruction is going on. So he says, your mouth is like Pratapanti Vishnu, is scorching. Vishnu, the word Vishnu here, he addresses Lord as Vishnu because it is said the word Vishnu comes from the root word Vish, which means to surround everything. So just like that also surrounds everywhere, you're also like Vishnu, you're surrounding everything, everywhere you are. Okay? Now, here Arjuna wants to ask now, because all the while we think about Lord, how do we think about Lord? He's compassionate, he has got love. So how can he go about destroying like this? So now Arjuna also has this question in his mind, this doubt in his mind. And normally we also have these doubts in our mind when there is crisis in our life, isn't it? Then we question, how can God be so cruel? How can he do this to us? You know, that fellow is a nice fellow. You know, every time we go to temple, how come he is suffering? When there is suffering, we start questioning like this. How can God be so cruel? Isn't he supposed to be compassionate? Isn't he supposed to be kind, loving? Yet how can he destroy good people like this, you know? So same thing now, Arjuna is also asking. He's saying, Akhyai, verse number 31, tell me, O Lord, Bhavan Kaha, who are you actually? I don't understand who you are. All the while I prayed to you, I thought you were the loving one, you are the compassionate one. Now I see you destroying so many things, destroying so many people. So you are Ugra Rupa. Ugra Rupa means this fierce form of yours. I cannot understand. Ugra Rupa. Rupa means form. Ugra means fierce form. Who is enjoying all this destruction? Okay? So when problems come into your life, that's when we all turn into philosophers, isn't it? Right? And that's why there's a story told of, who was that very famous? Socrates, yes. Socrates was asked by his very favorite student. The favorite student met a very beautiful girl. He wanted to get married. So he went to see Socrates. He said, Socrates, I have fallen in love with a wonderful woman and I want to get married. Should I get married? So Socrates said, by all means, son, go and get married. Why? Because Socrates had a very terrible wife. She used to always scold him and nag him and all that. So he told the fellow, he said, by all means, go and get married. Why? He said, because if you get a good wife, you will lead a happy life. If you get a bad wife, you become a philosopher. So isn't that, when we think, when wrong things, when things happen, we all become philosophers. Oh, why is God being like this? Why is Bhagwan being like this? Why like this? Why like that? All questions we start asking. So, why has Bhagwan not created a perfect world? Everybody asks. Why must they be suffering? Why not everybody healthy? Why not everybody enjoy? Why not everybody die peacefully? And that's when we get ideas of what? guru, I must go and look for the guru, I must thoughts of Gita come in, thoughts of Upanishads, thoughts of Vedas, all these thoughts will start coming in, right? Thoughts of which temple to go and all that, to find answers. So now what does he do? He bows down to God. He says, Namaha Astute, my salutations to you, O Lord. Seeing this fierce form, I cannot understand who are you in reality. Are you the loving, compassionate one? Are you the destroying one? Who are you? So, Namaha Astute, my salutations to you. Deva Vara, O Supreme Lord. Prashida, may you be graceful, may you be gracious to me. Show me not only the pleasant, the destructive form, please also show me the pleasant form. And now he wants to make a request. He says, I ichhami, I desire. What do I desire? Vijnatum, to know you thoroughly. I want to know you properly. Who are you? Please tell me. What is your bhavantam? What is your reality? Who are you in essence? Okay? You are the cause of creation. You also seem to be the cause of destruction. I really cannot understand this. Okay? So he says now, I do not understand. Nahi prajanam. I do not understand. Pravritim. What is your function? Are you the loving one? Are you the destroying one? Who are you in reality? I cannot understand. So it's now when we meet people, what do we always ask the first question? How are you? What's your name? Then what we ask them? What is your job function? So what is he asking, Lord, now? What is your job function? Please tell me. Who are you? Tell me what is your... Give me your name card. I want to know what is your designation. Are you creator? Are you dissolver? Are you destroyer? What are you? I cannot understand. So, this is Arjuna's request now. He has witnessed both the creative part and destructive part. He doesn't know what exactly is God's function. And in the very next verse, 32, which we will come back next week and discuss, now Krishna is going to explain to him what is the definition of God in this world. And a very important verse number 33, which contains the beautiful verse which I told you about, Nimitta Matram Bhava, may you be an instrument in the hands of the Lord. So we understand the real nature of Lord, what is the purpose of Lord's nature in this creation. I also must understand what is the role I must play. How do I become an instrument in the hands of the Lord? And if I am to become an instrument in the hands of the Lord, don't I have my free will? So, what is the real answer? So, we will come back next week and look at these very two important verses. Are you? And with the prayer. Vasudeva sudam devam kansa chanuramardanam devaki paramanandam krishnam vande jagat gurum. Thank you. Thank you.